are continuing in our series, Praying with Paul, Praying with Paul. And this morning, we're looking at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to be studying verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And this series has been very special to me. It has really challenged me in my prayer life. And of course, we all pray, but what we're doing is we walk alongside Paul and examining some of Paul's prayers. We're just learning how to expand our prayers and be a little bit more mature in our praying. Let me give you a little bit of background to this text, and that is this, is that the Colossian church was certainly a little bit in danger. They were in danger because certain teachers had crept in and they were beginning to teach heresy. They were teaching human traditions and setting up rules and regulations that were not bound by grace, and trying to get the church members to have mystical experiences rather than trusting in Christ. And so Paul heard about them. And so I want us to read the passage first. If you would just stand with me right where you are, just stand with me, and we're just going to read this passage and then we'll pray. Would you just read together with me what you see on the screen? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the Lord and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Pray with my eyesight this morning. It's going in and out like sometimes the mic do. I think I'll be okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the worship that we have experienced so far. It's just been so good. So grateful, God, that we get to come to church, that we get to come together and assemble for worship. We're so grateful for that. Lord, we know that in other countries, they have to go underground. They have to sneak. They have to be undercover in order to worship. But Father, in America, we still get to worship you anywhere we want to. And so, Lord, we are grateful this morning that we get a chance to look into the Word of God and to grow a little bit closer to you. Help us now to uncover a truth in the Word that we can package in our heart and expand our prayer life. In Jesus' name, the whole church said, amen. Amen. This morning, let me just ask you this question. What do you pray about? What do you thank God for? Or do you even thank God at all? Do you thank God for a good job? Do you thank God for health? Do you thank God for children not acting crazy? Do you thank God for your spouse? Do you thank God for your car? Do you thank God for just anything? What do you thank God for? This morning, when we look into this passage, we discovered that the Apostle Paul was very, very thankful in this prayer because he had heard of a report from a fellow minister named Epaphras. But what I want you to know where Paul was writing from. First of all, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul was very thankful, but Paul was in prison at the time that he wrote this book to the Colossians. Now, I don't know if you've ever been arrested. I don't know if you've ever had the cuffs on. I don't know if you've ever been to jail. I've never had to do that. But I do know in being in prison ministry that prison is very, very difficult. I was visiting my brother-in-law in Leavenworth State Prison, and he's out now. We thank God for that. But when I was visiting him, I was just sitting there waiting for his number to be called, for him to come out.
my wife and I, we were sitting there waiting for him, and I noticed this young man that was sitting there waiting with his girlfriend, his fiance, and found out later it was fiance. And I kept looking at him because I'm like, man, you know how you see somebody, you just think you know him. And I looked at him and I said, you remember me? He said, no. I said, I remember you. I said, you used to be my student at Van Horn High School. The reason why I know that is because I beat you in basketball all the time. And he started laughing and he said, Mr. Randall. He said, oh, Mr. Randall. And I remember having this conversation with him in the hallway, trying to convince him to go this way, and he went that way. And he said to me, he said, Mr. Randall, it's very difficult to be here in Leavenworth State Prison. He said, this is federal prison. He said, it's even difficult for me to go to the restroom. So I thought about that, and I thought about how the Apostle Paul was writing and being very thankful, but he was in a very difficult situation. He was writing out of prison. But he was being thankful for people he had never met. He had never met the Colossians, but he was going based on a report from a fellow minister, and he was very, very thankful. Now, my question to you this morning is, can you give thanks out of a difficult situation? When your situation is desperate and when you are in despair and when you're just down, do you just kind of wait until you get out of that? Or can you, while you're in that difficult situation and while you feel desperate and it's difficult, can you say everything is still dandy? Some of y'all young people, dandy means, you know, it's all right. It's still good. But sometimes we just say, you know, no, I can't do that. So here's what I want you to know. First of all, that in a prayer of thankful, Paul was talking about this prayer of thankfulness. So I want you to see these on the screen, a prayer of thankfulness that he said, we give thanks to God, Colossians 1:3, to the God and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praying, listen, always for you. He said, we give thanks. But I want you to know where he's at. He's in prison and he's giving thanks for people that he's never seen. Now, look at this. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be meet, to be partakers of the inheritance. And so this was something that Paul constantly did, you see. This was part of his character. It didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter what he was going through. He still said, I'm going to give God what? Thanks. Right? You get that. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Giving what? Thanks. Look at Colossians, listen, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. He says, we give what? Thanks to God always for you all. Constantly. In other churches, he said this over and over and over again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God. Listen, without what? Ceasing. This is something that he just constantly did. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, in what? Everything give what? Sometimes we just think it's just for the good times, but this is what Paul prayed. But don't you know that it's also for us to do this? As Christians, if you are Christians this morning, you need to get out of that attitude where you're just always walking around like someone just ran into you with a car. In Psalms, look at Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. The Bible says, enter into his what? His gates with thanksgiving. In other words, when you come to church, you should be ready to give God what? Thanks. Somebody say amen to that. Sometimes, you know, we wait around and say, well, is the music going to be right? Are they going to play my song? No. God says, enter, be ready to give God what? Thanks when you come into the gate. And the Bible says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Somebody say that. You know, the role of the pitchers, they don't get on the mound. They don't get on the mound until they do what? They warm up. They just don't get up there and start throwing. You throw your arm up. They warm up. They got a lot of time before the game, right, to start throwing the ball. And then they get on the mound. They have not, if they can make it to 9, and that's amazing. But we have 6 days to warm up before you come to church. You have 6 days, right? And you should be looking around. God is so amazing. There are things in your life that happen when you say, God, thank you. I thank you for that. Now, I thank God when I'm on the highway because I drive kind of fast. My wife, slow down. So I thank God when I'm in my car and I don't hit somebody or somebody doesn't hit me. I'm thankful. You can find something to thank God for. The fact that you are alive today, that you're here, you can say thank you. Thank you, God. I don't know about you, but the devil could have killed me a long time ago. I'm talking to my crazy brothers right now. Yeah, I ain't talking to y'all saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to my crazy brothers right now. That when you were out there, the devil could have killed you. You put yourself in all kind of crazy situations, and you know you did. He could have had you then, but you can say, thank you. God saved me, filled me with his Holy Spirit, and he could have had me. He should have got me when he could have got me. But I'm going to open up my mouth now, and I'm going to say, thank you. Paul was thankful. He was in prison. He was in a difficult situation, but he still found something to thank God for. Somebody say amen to that. He said, I thank God. He found three reasons to be thankful to God. First of all, he found three reasons because his minister reported to them. He said, man, these are some Christians in Colossians, and they're doing some things that's amazing. He says, number one, they have faith in Christ Jesus. They have love for all the saints, and they are hoping in a heaven that's laid up for them. So number one, I want you to look with me and follow with me. I want to just kind of go through these things that the Apostle Paul was thankful for in the lives of the Colossian Christians. First of all, Paul was thankful because the Colossians had a faith in Christ Jesus. You see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 4, point A, he says, since we heard of your what? Faith in Christ Jesus. It points to the idea of living by faith. In fact, it was the only direction appropriate for their faith because all the false teachers were pointing other places. And Paul said, I thank God for you that you place your faith not in idols, but in Christ. Amen. One of the first things, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, because he says to the saints, and he was talking about them earlier, he says to the saints and the faithful brethren, he called them faithful brethren. You know, because when somebody dies, the first thing that comes to my mind is this, not that they were rich, or not where they lived, or not that they had a doctor's degree, or that they had 18 children and all that. Now, those things matter, but the first thing that comes to my mind is, I wonder if they had faith in Christ. I wonder if they placed their faith in Christ as Savior. You know why? Because, you see, because faith in Christ is the baseline. Faith in Christ is the bottom line. In fact, it is the only line that really matters. Are you with me? I heard a preacher say this. He said, because here's what we do, is that we divide people in horizontal lines, you see. And sometimes we divide people by race. We say, you know, oh, they're black or they're white or they're brown or they're blue or they're yellow or they're red. We divide people by race. And sometimes we divide people by, you know, their class. Oh, they're upper class, or they're middle class, or they're lower class, or they're broke. Okay? But Jesus divides people vertically. Are you with me? It's either you're saved on one side, or you're not saved. You're lost, or you're found. Right? You're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to what? Hell. You're either living by faith or you're dying like a fool. Are you with me? That's really only the thing that matters to God. In fact, the Bible says, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without what? Faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please God. So it doesn't matter. If you have all these other things and you don't have faith, young people, listen to me. You can have all these degrees and all this money and all these cars and all these really nice boyfriends and girlfriends, and you can die and not have faith. You're going to hell. Can I just be real with you? And God loves you and wants you to be with him. Are you with me? True faith in Christ justifies the believers. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. You express faith today when you sat in your seat. You didn't analyze it. I wonder if this seat can support my weight. Yeah, I had some Jack Stacks over the weekend, and I know I picked up a little bit of fluffiness. But I wonder if there's no, you just sat down. You trusted. You made a decision. You sit down. You sat down in your seat. And you know what you got to do? You can't just say, yes, boy, God. And when we're looking at all these videos the other week, when we're talking about the crucifixion, oh, man, he took that from me. But until you place your faith in him, until you receive him into your life, you're just simply standing next to a seat looking at it collect dust. Are you with me? Faith is being fully persuaded and convinced that something is true and that you're going to trust it with your life. You have to stay on course. As a Christian, Paul was happy. He was thankful that these Christians were staying on the course. Because sometimes in life, things get what? Difficult. Things get rough. Am I right? Things get hard. There was a lady in 1980 who ran the Boston Marathon. Her name was Rosie Ruiz. She entered the Boston Marathon, and she started the race just like everybody else. And as the runners approached the finish line, she was leading the pack by a country mile. She won the race, broke all kinds of records. The people applauded as she crossed the line, and she was crowned the champion. But it was suspicious, though, that how did this woman, who had never won a marathon, right? Who had never won a marathon before, and she broke all these kind of records, and she won by a country mile. How did she do this? So what they did is they examined her, and they found out that when she took off, when she turned the corner, she looked around, left the race, went down to the subway, got on the subway, rode for 16 miles, came back up, got back on the route, and was running and got in front of everybody and won the race. Of course, she was disqualified. But that's just like some Christians, right? They start on the course by faith, and then they get tired, start breathing hard, go down to the subway, right? And leave the course. And see, what God wants us to do is that even though you get tired, are you with me? God wants you to stay on the course, stay on track, and don't give up. Amen. Paul was thankful, and that's what we need to do, is pray for one another, because things are hard. Things get hard sometimes. And God wants us to start praying for one another that our faith fail not. And if you want to say, if you want God to hear, you want to hear God say, well done, thou what? Good and what? Faithful servant, we have to stay on course. So first of all, Paul was thankful because they had a faith in Christ that stayed on the course. Secondly, he said that they had a love for all the saints. Look at the second part of verse 4. He said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and listen to this, and your love for how many of the saints? All the saints. Some of y'all just said, help me, Lord. Tina Turner used to sing, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? That's what she used to sing. That's what she used to say. She said it was a, she said, love ain't nothing but a what? A secondhand emotion. And then Toni Braxton used to sing, unbreak my heart, say you love me again, undo this hurt you come when you walked out the door and walked out of my life. You can barely understand what she's saying, right? But she wanted someone now to unbreak her heart because her love had been broken because some bozo walked out of her life. And Tina up here talking about what's love got to do with it? It ain't nothing but a secondhand emotion. But when you look at biblical love, ain't nothing like that, huh? The Bible says the Greek word for love in verse 4 is agape love, which means affection. It means goodwill. It means love. It means benevolence. It means, listen to this, brotherly love. I love you like you're my own brother. In fact, we have the same father. Somebody say amen. Christian love is not a second-hand emotion, and it does not need to be fixed. You don't need to unbreak my heart because you didn't put the love in the first place. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul said in the book of Romans, he says, now hope does not disappoint because he says the love of God, listen to this, the love of God has been what? Poured into my heart. By whom? The Holy Spirit poured it in there. So I don't have to look to you to unbreak my heart. And it's not a secondhand emotion. Love is something that you do. It is something that Christ did. He did it on the cross. He died on the cross for you. So if you're wondering if a young man loves you, you can look at what he does, not what he says. Somebody say amen. So as a Christian, listen to this. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, given to me by the Holy Spirit. So why do I have this love? What is the purpose of this love, Paul? So that I can love all the saints. That's what he says. I have a love that I can love all the saints. Notice that he said, it is an all-embracing love. It's not just for the saints that love me back. Come on now. I wish somebody would help me, Holy Ghost, right now. Because there are some people that I automatically gel with. I automatically flow with. Especially those who like barbecue, who like to roll a jack stack. I love some barbecue. I'd be hurting. We'd be hurting them cows. And so if you like things that I like, I can roll with you. But if you like to take pills and shakes and eat greens and healthy stuff, I'd be like, well, bro, pray for me now. Pray. Because we like to roll with people who are easy to get along with. That's just a natural, normal thing, right? Am I saying it right? And so it's easy to love people who are easy to love. Are you with me? But the Bible says that we are to extend our love to all the saints. And Paul was like, I got good news. I heard that you had a faith in Christ and that you had a love, listen to this, for all the saints. That's incredible. There's a story, you remember, the story of Beauty and the Beast. There is this beast that would just go around growling at everybody. He had a bad attitude, right? He had a bad attitude, and he was this ugly dude that just roared. He stayed by himself, didn't want to talk to nobody, didn't want to go out to Bible study with nobody, didn't want to go to the movies with anybody. He just wanted to be by himself, and you got in his presence, he would roar. That's how some Christians are. Am I? Are you with me? But then the Bible says that there was, well, not the Bible. I'm getting the Bible mixed up with it. The Bible didn't say that. Pastor Randall said Beauty and the Beast, mama was in the Bible. Scratch that. But then the story says that there is this beauty that's in the story. Was her name what? Belle? What was her name? Yeah. And she loved this beast. And the more that she loved this beast, right, the more he started kind of like, you know, softening up. And he began to change. You see, so this beauty loved the beast because of her love that she had for him. So the Holy Spirit gives you the beauty of his love so that you can love some of the beasts that are in the church. I'm going to tell you who the beasts are. But you'll find out who they are. And perhaps God will allow you to roll up next to somebody rather than stand back and say, I've never heard or seen such a behavior. Maybe God is calling the love inside of you, Belle. Maybe God is getting you ready so that you can love some of the beast in some of us so that we can be the kind of people that we should be. Are you with me? Look at 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says, by this we know what? Love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. God has transformed us, and God wants us to love everybody in the fellowship. So, number one, Paul was thankful because the people had a faith in Christ Jesus. Number two, they had a love, listen, for all the saints. And finally, he said that he was thankful for the hope which was laid up for them. Colossians chapter 1, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. He says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. When we were growing up, and of course it was 12 of us, 8 boys and 4 girls, and sometimes my mother would get very creative in how she would get us prepared for school. And we all wanted to have new clothes and nice shiny things just like everybody else, and so she couldn't afford it, and so what she would do was go to Spartan. Some of y'all remember Spartan Atlantic on 47th Street near, I think it's Cleveland, and you could go in there along with some other stores in the city and lay away. Are you with me? Layaway means that you don't got all the money right now, so what you do is you pick stuff off the rack, right? Take it up to the counter and says, I want to make a payment plan, and when I pay all the money, then I can come and now you can give me my clothes. The problem was for us kids, well, sometimes we would grow out of our clothes. Or we would like look at the clothes a couple months later and say, psh, is that what we bought back then? So layaway means you take it off the rack, put it in the back, and then it would store it up for you. Are you with me? Now, as Christians, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible is saying this to us. He says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. You see, that word laid up is simply saying this, that it is reserved, that it has been appointed, it is laid up in heaven. You see, when you get on the layaway plan, it's taken off the rack, put in the back where everything is dusty and anybody can get in there and get it and grab it. But the Bible says that we have a hope that is what? Laid up in where? It's in heaven. No one can get to it, no rust, no moth, nobody can steal it because it's laid up in heaven. Listen, for you. This is what motivated these Christians to have faith in God. This is what motivated the Christians to have a love for all the people. You know why? Because they said, you know what? One day, I am going to heaven where it is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So if I have to keep on staying on the road, even though it's hard, guess what? I'm going to do it. If I have to keep loving Sally, she make me mad. Get on my last nerve. I'm tired of her. Keep on acting the same way. If I have to keep loving her, guess what? I'm going to do it. Why? Because I know that one day there's a hope that is laid up in heaven for me. Some of y'all, I hate to tell y'all this, but pro wrestling is staged. Michael French, Karen DeGree. Pro wrestling is staged. I used to watch with my mother Handsome Harley Race and Rufus R. Jones. Handsome Harley Race would come out and he would always have something stuck down in his shorts. And we didn't know who was going to win, but it was already staged. See, they knew who was going to already win. They already knew who was going to win. We didn't, so it's really for show, you see. They were putting on a show. But they already knew was going to win, and so we didn't know that Rufus R. Jones was going to win that day. You know why? Because they kept taking Rufus. Hanson Harley and Race would take Rufus and put his hand into the buckle. Boom! He was like, and my mother would say, call the police! Call the police! Call the police! She thought it was real. Every Saturday, without fail, my mother would say, call the police! I said, Mom, it's like fake. Rufus R. Jones would pull something out of his, it was really like blood in the package, right? A little, you know, fake blood in the package. And he would, you know, hit Rufus R. Jones in the head and all his blood would come out. We like, he's getting ready to die. Oh, he's getting ready to die. But it was all staged. But they already knew who was going to win. And then he would take Rufus again and hit his head into, boom, and then Rufus would come back to life. Uh-oh, no, oh, now. And then he would be, you know, running around the ring, and then he would pin him, and then it would be over. Guys, I hate to say this to you, but your Christian life is staged. You've already won. You've already run the victory. It's staged. You see, they weren't fighting for the victory. They were fighting from the victory. You're not fighting for the victory. You're fighting from a position that I've already won. I've already won this thing. And so it motivates me knowing that I've already won, so I can love people that are unlovely, and I can stay on the course even when it gets tough, because I've already won. You won the victory. You got the victory. You have it in your hands. You got it. The Bible is just simply telling you not to give up. Your turnaround is coming. Amen. You got the victory. The hope of eternal life is already yours. Amen. I love this song that we're going to play as a reflection song. It's called Turning Around for Me. And let me just read this before you start it. It says, sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Sometimes cast down, but not destroyed. He said, there are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointments. There are times I felt so all alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me. So I want you to know this morning, as you, this is your prayer. In fact, when I was reading and studying and I was listening to the song, I just bowed my head and started praying for you. I tried in my mind to bring everyone into my mind, and I started just praying, God, bless them. God, help them to stay on the course. God, help them to realize that it's getting ready to turn around for them, not to give up, not to go subversive, not to get off the course and go subway on God, but just stay on the course. Keep going. God's getting ready to turn it around for you. Don't get off the course. Don't give up. Keep loving people, even though it's hard. Keep loving your husband. Keep loving your wife. Keep loving your children. And don't give up right now. Hold on. Your help is on the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for people he didn't even know. Certainly, God, we can pray this for our brothers and our sisters that we love. I pray this prayer over them this morning. I pray this prayer of faith, God, that their faith would not fail. I pray this prayer, God, that they would love people because the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God in our hearts. It's a love that's not a secondhand emotion. It doesn't need to be fixed because it was given to us by the Holy Spirit. Father, have your way this morning. Encourage your people in Jesus' name.